You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 21. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our Father in God, we look to you. Set apart thy word. Help us to have understanding that we might be able to appreciate and appropriate your truth, the truth, that we would have the benefit of life itself, your life, your love. In Christ's name, amen. And we shared together in the Gospel of John and in chapter 21, as we have done. And in the process, as we have read and looked at all of that, we are reminded here is Peter giving John giving us a wonderful closing, where he's the last living apostle, giving us an understanding of how we're to understand all of the Old Testament and the New Testament, he being the last writer. And here in John chapter 21, he singles out Peter. And remember now, there's seven of them. They are told to go. They have resurrection the same night, same day, the same day, same night. The Lord showed himself alive in a most wonderful, wonderful way to his disciples. He waited a week, and he showed himself alive again to the disciples and to Thomas in particular. He did all of that in a most awesome way so that they would know, and all the other events as we looked at them. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, in that God has given them every opportunity, and for 40 days he's going to do so. And what are they to have? They are his witnesses. Therefore, they are to be exposed to his wonderful, wonderful person over and over again in different ways, because they're going to represent him and his resurrected life. They're his witnesses of his resurrection. So having said that, keep that in mind if you would. And so here they are. And there's no question, as we did all of these things, he tells them to go to Galilee to meet them. He's going to meet them there. So he'll be ahead of them. He'll meet them. They're in Jerusalem. They're going to go to Galilee. That's what they're going to do. Now, and he's gone. So here, Peter, James, and John, etc., they go back to Galilee. But, as we read in chapter 21, Peter, chapter 21 and verse 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. So we shared all of that. And what did they do? They went home, and as far as they could see, they ate with him. His resurrection, he showed them he was alive physically. He ate the fish, the biscuit, etc. So they know that. They're awesome. They spent 3 1/3 years with him. And then he's crucified, and they thought it was all over. He actually rose again. And wow, he really is who he is. It really happened as he said. He is the resurrected one, the Messiah, the Christ. Wow. And we're still us. And he's gone. So they go all the way back home to to their work, to do what they do, to say what they say. That's what they're going to do. And in the process, the reality of all of John 13 through 17, all the reality of 3 1/3 years, the reality of the resurrection, it's missing. He has it. They know that mentally, they know, but they have no relationship. It's missing. He's gone. He's resurrected. It's all over. So we're going fishing, back to the normal, back to our normal existence in a normal way. That's what we're going to do. Yeah, it was an adventure, an awesome adventure, an awesome something with an awesome person. But it's all gone. It's all gone. So they go back. And Peter, as we did all these things, is a leader. God has him. And when they go out fishing, only 4 apostles are there: Peter, James, John, and Thomas. And the 2 of the 4 of them, and then there's 2 apostles, Peter and John. Now God does everything in a most wonderful way, and he has Peter. Peter's the one that wants to go fishing. In his normal way, all night, he did it. And he did this earlier, remember, in Luke chapter 5. He went and did all night, caught nothing, and the next day, everything, his net was full. Wow. He forgot. God had him do it all over again. He went fishing all night, caught nothing, and in the morning, God told them how to, from the beach, told them how to get fish, put his net on they put the net on the right side, pulled in all the fish, etc. And they came on shore and brought all that net. Now, we did all of that in chapter 21, 1 through 14. And in the process of all of that, God's going to help them. God's going to help them. You know, we need a lot of help. But there's only so much. Only so much. So God, you could do all kinds of things for us and in all kinds of different ways. And when you're all done doing all kinds of things in all kinds of different ways to help us, to be with us, when it's all done, God, what's left is just us. And so, here's Peter, singled out. He's the leader. He's the one, as we shared together, that's always up front leading in the process. So we know that. And what are we going? God, you're going to help us. So he has them come to the shore, remember? He feeds them breakfast. There's not a lot said, obviously, in breakfast. They just were quiet, and they ate breakfast, and he served them breakfast, as we shared together. And when breakfast was finished, he then turned around and said, "Now I've got your attention. Your stomach is full. I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you. I'm going to be gracious and help you." And he does all the time. Again, all the help that we get and all that God can do for us is never enough. Never enough to change us. What Peter, James, and John, etc., Thomas, they need life. And all the help from God, all the weather, the food, and everything could do it, it doesn't help us in here. We're still the same. And we aren't any different at all. So God has to help us in his most magnificent way to understand. So therefore, in God's wonderful working, he's going to go and he's going to single out. He has Peter in the boat. Same experience he had earlier, and Peter is there. Peter isn't connecting the pieces. God is going to help him again. Thus the lesson. Why chapter 21? God is going to be gracious. After giving all of everything, John 20 and 31, God says, all of my word, all of the 20 chapters of the Gospel of John, are to help you believe. Well, you need to believe me and have life. But that didn't happen. It just didn't happen. So now, here we have Peter, and God's going to help Peter. In helping Peter, he helps all of them. Now, how does that go in the light of that? So therefore, and two things to keep in mind as we do this at least. Over if you can, please, John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, you would recall in verse 5. John 15, 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Reason. If you don't do this, if you don't abide, if you don't have the relationship, the branch to the vine, you can have no fruit. Verse 5, for without me you can do nothing. The branch has no fruit. It's just a branch. The branch needs to be attached to the vine to have fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. Do you remember that, guys? Peter, James, John? No. I told you, without me, you can't do it. So we're looking at ourselves. Jesus is out there serving us breakfast. It's just us. We're the same. Second, what did they forget? John chapter 14. God told them, without me, you can do nothing. So that's pretty good. But you didn't catch it, did you? Now, we don't catch a whole lot. So therefore, John chapter 14, picking up, please, in verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world, I'm going to read verse 16. I will pray the Father, he will give you another of the same kind, comforter, encourager, that purpose he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him. Why? For he dwelleth with you and shall be with you, in you. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The word comfortless is fatherless. I'm not going to leave you without a father. I'm going to go to my father. But they aren't catching that. I'm going to my father so you can have the father. But they didn't catch that. They didn't catch it. He said it. They didn't see it. Now, so therefore, I will not leave you comfortless without a father. I'm not going to do that. And you could go on John chapter 15, 25, 26, 27. The comforter has to come to help her in every way. Chapter 14, back over to chapter 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we, my Father and I, will come unto him and make our abode, our abiding place with him. We're going to go my Father and I will come. I will not leave you fatherless. We'll come to you. You can't separate God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. All of them do what they do as God. One and three. His awesome nature, essence, being. But he expresses himself in three distinct entities. Now, so here we are looking, God. So God, what are you going to do? I'm going to come to you. I'm not going to leave you alone. You need to understand. I'm going to come into your heart. I'm going to come and save you. I'm going to be your life. Believe in me and I'll give you my life. I've come to die on the cross to give you my life. in a most wonderful, wonderful way to have my life. They didn't catch it. Therefore, chapter 21. And in chapter 21, you recall, verse 15, our Lord singles out Peter and he gives him three questions. 1, 2, 3. He singles out Peter. All of them are sitting there. Well, they're sitting there. There they are. They're listening. And Peter, the Lord sitting right in front of Peter. Peter, he's going to quiz him. Three questions. Wonderful questions to help Peter. In helping Peter, you'll help all the rest of us. So therefore, verse 15, we shared together. So when they had dined, had breakfast, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And remember Peter, that's the name God, the Lord gave to Peter. Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And so here they all sitting there, the seven of them, and the Lord points to Peter, and then he points over there, and here's the others. Do you love me, that Peter? Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than they do? That's what I know. Do you love me more than they do? That's a question. Not an easy question. But, Peter, therefore, and remember Peter said it repeatedly, but so did Thomas, I'm going to die. I'll die. I'll go to prison. I'll do whatever. But then he denied him. Three times. God has three questions. Three denials. Three questions. Therefore, comparing them, do you love me more than these? Now the word love, agape, love me more than these. That's the love, God's love. We read it in 1 John 4:16. 4:16 in the whole section. God is love. God is love. God loves. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God is love. We love him because he first loved us. And what is this love? God wants to know, Peter, do you love me? A command. Are you, present tense, are you loving me? And Peter's getting the question. And Peter says, he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. So therefore, Peter's answer, Lord, you know everything. And that's what they said in John chapter 16, that they all said to him, you know everything. You know all about us. So they all know that. Guardian, Peter knows it. He knows everything. You don't have to tell him anything. He knows everything. So Peter says, yea, Lord, thou knowest, you knowest, that I love thee. Only this time, he uses the word phileo, which is like Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Phileo, love, a love, affection. Are you my friend? We're friends, dear, precious, friends. I love you, God. I love you. Verse 15. I'm your friend. You're dear to me. I care about you. Obviously, I care about you. Okay. Now, that's what he answered. Now, what did God ask? God said, do you love me? And he didn't use that word, phileo. He didn't use that. He used the word for love. God is love. Now, God is love. God is love. We didn't love God, 1 John 4. We don't love God. God loves us. And he loves us. And when we love him, how are we going to love him? When I receive Christ as my Savior, when I trust him as my Savior, God in Christ comes into my life. When God comes into my life in Christ, he brings me himself. He brings me love in him. He is love. God, what are you looking for? For Peter, do you love me? We love, hold your finger so you see it. Back over to your, what you read, 1 John. And in 1 John, picking up, if I can. And in chapter 4, you read, but remind yourself, chapter 4, 1 John, verse 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation, a satisfaction for our sins. Verse 19, we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. Now where, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me, Peter? Well, Peter said, "I, you're my friend." He doesn't use the word. It isn't part of his vocabulary. It isn't in his mind. To what? God said, do you love me? Are you understanding? I am your God, creator, and savior. I love you. I love you. I want, God said, myself, to be your God, to be your savior. I created you for my glory and honor. I love you. I want everything that I have in my mind as God. I want that all to be for you in your head, in your heart, in your whole life. I want your whole life to enjoy my wonderful purpose for creating you. That's what the love means. God loves. I want you to be all that I have in mind, said God. You're my sovereign choice. I choose you. I choose you. I love you. I want you to have everything I have in mind in you. I want you to have it. Therefore, once I grab that, God so loved the world, then God, what am I going to do? God, you're going to go and do a wonderful thing. I'm going to receive you as my Savior. And all of a sudden, I begin to change. I want what God wants. I begin to read God's word. It begins to change my mind and my heart. So I'm looking to God. And God, what am I doing? I'm letting God love me. He's changing me, as we said in Sunday school. He's changing me to be like him. He's doing a wonderful thing. I'm loving him. Peter, do you love me? Peter said, no. You're my friend. You're very dear to me. But I don't love you. I don't love you. I don't love you. He didn't say it that way, but that's what's going to come out. Peter, do you understand what you just said? You don't really love him. Peter said, no, I don't. I haven't got it yet. God said, let me ask you the second question. And we'll get it. Second question comes up. In verse 16, 21 and 16. And in the process, and God's going to ask now. And before I do verse 16, let me remind you about Peter. Hold your finger here in 21 and go with me over to Luke chapter 22. Luke and chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, picking up, please, the account in verse 30, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Verse 31, 22, 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. Why? That he may sift you as wheat, to get you to reveal that you really aren't understanding, you really aren't committed. You're going to go and deny him 3 times. You really aren't there. You think you know, you want to know, you're committed in yourself, in your humanness. But all that I could ever do to help your humanness will never get you to have the life that you need. Something else has to happen, Peter, or it's never going to work, no matter what I do. In the kingdom, 1,000 years, 1,000 years you could live. If you were born, almost 1,000 years, you would live. And you don't have to get saved. You don't have to get saved. Not 100 years, 1,000 years, you have opportunity to live in a perfect environment when everything's wonderful. No police, no sickness, or whatever, as it were. Wonderful environment for 1,000 years. I give you everything. What more do you want? It won't save you. 1,000 years won't save you. They rebel as the sand of the sea at the end. It won't save you. You got to be saved. 1,000 years, 10,000 years, 20,000 years. It won't make any difference. You got to get saved. You have to have a relationship to God. You're created for God. Therefore, if I can, therefore, verse 32, but I have prayed for thee, that purpose, thy faith, the faith that you believe, my word, fail not, and when thou art converted, turned around, strengthen, fix firmly, make steadfast your brethren. I want you to go. Peter, you're going to go off base. You're going to deny. You're going to step out of line. But Peter, I want you to understand, I have a job, a wonderful, wonderful assignment for you. But until you relate properly, until you believe without Jesus, without me, you can do nothing. Until you understand the Spirit of God has to enable you, until you understand that, Peter, you can never do it. I want you to be able to strengthen the believers. Hang on. Now, and why Peter? Why do you say it to him? Of all the people that flunked up and down, 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 Peter. Of all of you 11 disciples, apostles, of all of you, wow, Peter's the one guy that is there. He's always there. And Peter, I'm going to have it so that you become steadfast straightway. You're firmly fixed. No more bouncing around. No more what you do, I'm going fishing. No more. I've got you, but you got to wait. And the second question comes up, back over to John 21:16. And in John 21, verse 16. And he saith unto him again, the second time, 21:16, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Same word. Do you love me? Peter doesn't connect. God is love. He don't connect it. Do you love me? Only this time, he doesn't say, do you love me more than these? Did you notice in Peter's answer, verse 15, he didn't bring up more than these at all. He was smart. He said, listen, God said, do you love me more than these six of them? Do you love me more than them? And Peter never said it. He never said, I love you more than these. No, he didn't. He understood he was getting cornered. And he backed off. He didn't bring it up. Man, he was smart enough to know that. And so here's the second question. This time, no comparison. Lovest thou me? A straight. Lovest thou me? Command, do you love me? That's what I want to know. Are you loving me? That's what I want to know. And Peter, he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest, same, you know everything. You know that I love you. Same word, Philadelphia, You know that I care about you. You're my friend. I like you. Oh, my God, you're a wonderful person. You couldn't say what God said, no, because Peter doesn't have it. How can you say what we just read it, 1 John 4:19? We love him because he first loved us. If I don't understand God's wonderful love to me, how can I reflect it? How can I say thank you for something I don't understand? Thank you, God, for loving me. Whatever that means. I need to understand what that means. What do you mean? God saves me. God wants me to be everything he has in mind in his most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, picking up, if I can. So Peter answers, second question, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Now, here we does that, feed my lambs. We have that in verse 15, the end of the verse, feed my lambs, feed, to eat, feed like they feed the pigs, etc. Feed, feed, feed. I want you to help them. They need to be fed. They need to be fed. That's what they have to do. You have to feed them. You have to feed them. Peter, I want you to be able to feed them. I strengthen the brethren. I want you to be able to help them. You have to feed them. Where am I going to feed them? From thy word, your word, thy God's word. So therefore, and now he says in verse 16, feed my sheep. And he goes from lambs to sheep. Lambs to sheep. Full sheep. The word, think of word shepherding. First word to feed. Feed them. Like nourishing them. Shepherding them. I want you to shepherd them. Shepherd them. God is the good shepherd. John chapter 10. He giveth his life for the sheep. That's true. And God is the shepherd. And God has to shepherd the sheep. But God has to shepherd the sheep. He needs the vehicle to do so. And that's Peter. You're going to be the vehicle to feed. God is going to be the shepherd in the apostles to help them. God is going to shepherd the sheep. He has to, that's what we want, to take. Sheep need to be fed. Well, think of Isaiah 53, 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so we're all over the place. That's the trouble with sheep. That's why God didn't say you're wolves. God didn't say you're pelicans. He didn't use those words. He used sheep. Sheep are sort of stupid. And without some guidance, sheep don't know. Humans are stupid. You're all like sheep. Sheep, you need help. So therefore, here's the second question. Feed my sheep. Command, do it. I want you to feed them. Peter, all going right past him. Can't get it. Something has to happen, Peter, because none of it, all of what he's saying to you is passing right by you until the third question comes. Verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Same word. No, not this time. He changes it. He's going to help Peter. Now, Peter's been using the word to care, to be a friend. God is going to help Peter. And this time, he doesn't use the word love. He doesn't say love. He uses the same word Peter uses. Peter says, I'm your friend. I care. God says, do you count me as your friend, Peter? Am I your friend, Peter? Do you like me, Peter? Am I dear to you, Peter? Ah, it's clicking. different word. And Peter says the same word, verse 17. And Peter, the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. So here we are, and he's grieving. Peter is sad. He's sad. He's exposed. He's humbled. Peter says, I can't feed the lambs. I can't shepherd. I can't be the shepherd. I can't do it. I can't do it. But you are my friend. And God acknowledges he's his friend, but he doesn't have life. Peter needs something wonderfully, 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 and he doesn't have it. He doesn't have it. And Peter realizes, having God as your friend, I like the truths of God. I like the word truths in the Bible. He died for me. He did all of this. But I never, never receive him as my Savior. So there are dear people, dear friends, that have all of these truths. They believe them. And they're going to say to you, I believe, I believe, I believe. But they don't have him in their heart as a Savior. And they aren't saved. But they talk about it. And you would think if you weren't careful, you weren't careful. It sounds just like I'd say. The difference is you have a relationship to Christ that saves you. He's the Savior. He's the love. He's there. What's he going to do, like in Sunday school? He's going to change your life. That's what he's going to do. You can't be a son in the Son, without being changed. He's going to make you like him, being conformed to his image. That's what he's going to do. You say, I'm going to get saved. You're going to be changed. You have to be. You have to be changed. Now, so having said that, hey to Peter. So Peter wakes up and Peter, do you have me as your friend? And Peter said, you have me. I am your friend. I am your friend. What a thing to say. Peter, you're humbled. I am humbled, said Peter. I am humbled. All right. Now, so what do we got? Well, we got a downward trend. Lovest thou me more than these? Lovest thou me? Down. Are you my friend? Down, down we go. We won't make the comparison. And we just say, are you just loving me? And then we won't even use that. We'll try, are you my friend, Peter? Down. Peter's grieved. God, what are you doing? I'm going to raise him up. What are you going to say? In verse 15, feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. I want you to not only to feed them, I want you to care for them, shepherd them. I save them. God, how are you going to help them? Well, in Peter, what's he going to do? God is going to love the people in himself, in the believing heart. That's why you love the brethren. Because God loves them. Where? In you. You don't have any choice. Otherwise, God says you're out of fellowship. Because I'm loving. Who's loving? God is. God is. No, I'm not loving. You're not loving. God's loving. God's doing the loving. And what we're doing, we're letting him love. We're enjoying his love personally. And then when we enjoy his love personally, without me, you can do nothing. And Peter, you don't know this. You need the Spirit of God to make it all happen. And that's what's going to happen. Therefore, in the light of that, putting that together, if I can, over to 1 John, if you're there. John chapter 5, simple little thing. I hope you got a little bit. He has to help Peter. Because no matter how much help you give anybody, the flesh is only the flesh. Until God gives you life himself, you couldn't, no matter what you do, you could be a preacher of preachers. You could even go to Rome and be a bishop and a cardinal and a canary and everything else. You can be all of those things. You can do them, but it won't give you any life. None. God, what do you need? You have to have a relationship, the vine and the branch. Without me, you can do nothing. God, you have to have, Paul, Peter, you got to have God doing it in you to give you what? His life. That's what you've been missing for 3 1/3 years. You've been able to be with him, but you never had what he had. God has died on the cross to make possible in your life what he had in his life, a unique, eternal relationship to Almighty God. That has to be found in the believing heart. God. How am I going to have eternal life? God. Where am I going to get love? God. 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 God loves me. God. I received him as my Savior. God is love. And he's going to do what he's going to do in his most wonderful, wonderful way. John chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, what do they have? Eternal life. What else? And they shall not come into condemnation, judgment. And what else? This pass from death unto life. Wonderful. When did that happen? When I got saved. That's what the gospel is. What did you say? What is John chapter, the 20 chapters of John, verse 31? John, what are we supposed to do? Believe. John chapter 21, Peter needed to believe. And that's why 21 is there. A number of reasons. One of them is because you need to believe. Peter, you really got to believe. And all the things you read about the resurrection are wonderful. But until you let the resurrection, the work and wonder of the resurrection get into your life, then you appreciate God's awesome person. Good God loves you. Period. What can separate you, Romans 8, from what? The love of God. Nothing can. Now, having said that, and my illustration, God, you got to have it. Now, I remember I had my glove. And here's, this is a human imagination. Here's a bunch of humans, and I meant to bring out 3 or 4 more gloves. So here's a pile of gloves, and they're all happy, glovey. They're glovey people, and they're all happy people. They're happy, they do what they do. They all do what they do, and they love each other. And they're gloveys, and they do it. They go to church together and everything. That's what they do. Now, what happens? What has to happen to Peter? Peter is there with his disciples. He's everything. Peter's there and he's with his others, and we're all glovey fishermen. Good. What, Peter, you need to get it, and so do the rest of them. You need to have life. You don't have it. There's nothing inside. Nothing inside, see? Just Peter. Peter, as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, the privilege to become children of God. What's missing, Peter? I'm missing. You abide in me, and I abide in you. Without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. But when you abide, vine, the branch, same hand, but boy, is it different. This is one thing. That's another. That's another. God takes our little earthly body and makes it a vehicle fit for his wonderful person. And God is going to demonstrate his resurrected life. Where? In the hand, in the heart, in the glove. And all of a sudden, we look the same. All, if I had all my gloves out here, and all the gloves, look, they can't do this. This can. The hand. God makes the difference. That's what Peter has to understand, and that's why Pentecost has to happen. Unless God dies on the cross and rises again. There's no way for this to happen. And Peter, that's why. Now, Peter, I told you to go to Jerusalem, Galilee. I told you to go there and wait for me. You went to Galilee and went fishing. You quit. You can't do that, Peter. You can't do that. That isn't your purpose. When you get saved, you're a doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, sower, grocery worker. What difference does it make? God changes you. You're the same grocery worker, but you're different. Your whole reason for going to do work, home, school, eat, cook, take your pills. Why? To allow the body to live so that you can express your wonderful relationship to God. That's what you bring the God to the cashier dress. You bring it to work. You bring God to the basement, to everywhere we go. You bring God there. Why? To show God's wonderful person. That's what you're doing. But you need God to do it. Otherwise, you're Peter's walking around trying to do work. I go to church and then everything's the same. I go out the door. Everything's the same. But it ought not to be the same. That's why you get saved. I got to quit. You got the idea? God said you got to have a relationship. I didn't ask how much you knew. Do you have a relationship? Are you abiding? I didn't ask whether you could know Ezekiel 37. I asked, are you abiding? I didn't ask about some chapter in the book of Judges. I want to know if you believe. That's all I want to know. Judges is wonderful. Ezekiel 37 is wonderful. I just want to know whether you believe. What do you got to do? A believe and abide. Well, I don't know. Neither do I. But what you can do is what? Do at least what? Believe me and abide. You can at least do that and enjoy life. And then you'll learn. I got to quit. Our Father in God, thank you. Our God, we just sort of stumbled through it. Help us. Help us. Help. Thank you for Peter. Thank you for what you do, what you say, how you say it. God, Spirit of God, thanks a lot. In Christ's wonderful, wonderful name, amen.